Morning, Dick.
Hey, boys.
Ah, gee, these NBA playoffs, wow. A couple of game sevens, and just describe this fallout for the Phoenix Suns and their loss to Dallas at home, a 64-win team who trailed on their home floor in a game seven against a team they were very much expected to beat. They were down by, what, 46 points, was it, at one stage?
I can't think of, at least in recent memory, of a home team in a game seven of a playoffs that got blown out like that. I mean, it was, you know, at times you'll have games that are competitive for a while and maybe the road team gets hot and they pull away and they win by 10 or 15. This game was over 5 minutes into the game. I mean, and it was unbelievable. You just kept waiting for Phoenix to show up and show some fight. And there was nothing. There was nothing from Chris Paul. There was nothing from Devin Booker. They couldn't get Ayton going in the post. And Luka did whatever he wanted. Spencer Dinwiddie coming off the bench for 30 points. My goodness. I mean, it was truly an embarrassing performance by the Phoenix Suns. I mean, I think that is the only appropriate word that you can use to describe that. And now, you know, people are coming down on Chris Paul and they're saying, you know, his last best chance to win a championship. I mean, I don't know about that. I would certainly say every year that Chris Paul gets older, he has less and less of a chance to win a championship. But it wasn't a solely Chris Paul issue because Chris Paul had a very good series otherwise. You know, Devin Booker now has shown that maybe he's not the mega star that we all thought he was going to be. I mean, he was being crowned last year as, hey, the next great young mega star in this league. And he's proving more that maybe he's the best number two in the league, you know, a number two option in the league, or maybe just a middle of the road number one right now, because he's showing an inability to get his own shot the way that true number one options on championship teams are able to do. And we're seeing one in Dallas. You want a true number one option that can get his own shot? How about Luka Doncic? He's a true number one option that can get his own shot anytime he wants.
Dick, could there be something more to it? Because again, with expectation, the way they played, Phoenix was just, it was like you couldn't play that bad. Like it's nearly impossible for them to play that bad. Could there be something deeper here?
Well, I guess we could look back at Phoenix over the last, you know, month and a half. They were a very consistent team over the course of the year, but did not necessarily play. I mean, for Boston, for example, let's take a look at how Boston's played over the last month and a half, 2 months, versus how Phoenix has played over the last month or month and a half. We take a look at how Phoenix has played or how Memphis has played over the last month and a month and a half. Phoenix would not be on the list of maybe top four or five teams in the NBA based upon how they've played for the last month and a half, but they put together a fantastic overall season. So I guess what we're seeing now is that, you know, it's a bit of a change. I mean, we've seen for years and years and years, you give me the number one, number two superstars in the league, I'll tell you who's going to play in the finals, right? That's how it's been. It's been LeBron. It's been Kevin Durant. It's been, you know, these guys. It's been Steph Curry. I mean, it's been, those are the guys that are winning championships. Those are the guys that are getting to the finals. But over the last year and this year, you know, it's more and more, hey, who's playing well at the right time? Who's putting it together on offense and on defense? Defense has been, I checked the numbers today. It's amazing. I think it was number one, I want to say number one, two, three, and five in defensive efficiency in the NBA are still in it. So guess what? Defense matters a little bit right now. And the true defensive teams are doing a nice job in making the Final Four.
At the end of his career, he's still only 23 years of age, Dick, but how do you reckon, if he's on this trajectory he's on at the moment, Doncic, well, how will we be talking about him?
It all depends on playoff success, period. I mean, that is going to be it. Talent-wise, he is going to be as great as Larry Bird. He's going to be, I mean, talent-wise, he is going to be, as long as he can, you know, as long as he stays in shape, and he's always, you know, he hasn't looked like the greatest Adonis physically. That's for sure. He carries a little bit extra weight. You know, he uses it very effectively, but he carries a little bit extra weight. How is that going to play when he's 29, 30, 31? How is that going to affect his longevity? That's going to be one question. But the number one question is, How many championships does he win? I mean, that's what it is in the NBA, right? It's how many championships do you win? That's how these greats are evaluated. And if Luka wins multiple championships, people will consider Luka as a top 10, definitely. Maybe even top 5 player of all time, just based upon his elite, elite skill level. If he never wins a championship, if he never gets to a championship, I would doubt that he would never get there. But if he never wins a championship, and it's hard to win a championship, if he never wins one, he will never be seen as a top 10 player of all time, because people will look at the titles and say, sorry, you're excommunicated from the top 10 of all time if you never win a championship. But fortunately for Luka, he's got a decade plus of prime in order to win that title.
He's so good. Speaking of playoff success and the lack of it, James Harden and the Philadelphia 76ers. Describe the fallout that the 76ers are suffering, particularly. I could only imagine what they're copping in Philadelphia at the moment. And also mentioning the Bucks as well, who went down in Game 7 of Boston.
Well, we'll start with Harden. It's the most predictable outcome of any team and any player in the NBA this year, right? I mean, we've been talking of exactly how Philadelphia's season was going to end. The only difference is it didn't come down to a Game 7. I mean, I thought it would probably come down to a game, you know, game seven, and James Harden, you know, doesn't do anything in the last 2 minutes of a game and loses it. But it just collapsed on him. I mean, it just absolutely collapsed on Philadelphia. And James Harden was one of the primary reasons why. It's going to be a fantastic discussion. It's already a fantastic discussion on whether Philadelphia should bring him back or not. It's going to be a fantastic discussion on whether he's going to get the max somewhere else. I would not even come close to paying the guy the max. I would let somebody else make that mistake. James Harden is not the James Harden of 4 or 5 years ago in Houston. He's just not. He can't get around guys anymore. He can't defend anymore. I mean, he still can to a certain level, but not the elite level that he was then. You have to pay James Harden based upon what he's going to be worth at in his mid-30s. Not what he was worth when he was 27 years of age. You can't pay him that. That's suicide for a franchise. As for the Bucks, that really surprised me, guys. So we go from a not a surprise at all in the Sixers to a big-time surprise in the Bucks. I thought it would go to 7, and I thought Milwaukee would find a way to beat Boston. And Boston showed to be the more complete basketball team. Chris Middleton's injury obviously definitely had something to do with it. I mean, you lose your number 2 option. You need the 3, 4, and 5 options to really step up and be stars. And they just didn't get that. They didn't get the Connaughtons and the Drew Holidays and those guys who stepped up last year to carry them to a title along with Giannis and Chris Middleton. They didn't get those guys to step up in order to help Giannis out, because at this point in the playoffs, as great as your superstar is, one guy can't do it. And I love Giannis. He may be my favorite basketball player in the world right now, but he just couldn't do it by himself and did not get enough and hand it to Boston. I mean, Boston played a fabulous Game 7. Stunning how they just dispatched the Bucks. I mean, I would have bet good money that that game was going to come down to the final minute and it was going to be Jason Tatum or Giannis, who makes the big shot to win the game. And unfortunately, we got none of that. I mean, I turned that puppy off at the end of the third quarter. I was like, I don't need to watch the fourth. This is terrible. But good on Boston for advancing, and that's going to be a heck of a series.
How does this series play out then, Dick, today? We've got Game 1, the Heat taking on the Celtics. Who do you like, and the series overall?
Here's what I do. I think Boston wins the series. But if Miami wins today, you're going to get better value on Boston. So, and I think Miami's got a great shot to win today. Game 1's at home. Place is going to be rocking. I think they're 2.5-point favorites. I might see if Miami wins today. If Boston wins today, I mean, it could go 6, and Boston takes care of things. If Miami wins today, your Boston number to win the finals goes from probably plus 250 to plus 4 or back to plus 500 maybe, because they're down 1-0 in the series. That's where I think you get your value, because I do think Boston wins the series. I think Golden State wins their series, and that sets up what I want to see in a finals matchup. I didn't get the finals matchup I wanted last year. I don't think anybody wanted Phoenix and Milwaukee in the championships last year. They wanted any other permutation other than Phoenix and Milwaukee. I think Boston and Golden State would be a ratings bonanza. Yeah. The Celtics against Steph and the Warriors would be crushing it in the television ratings.
Yeah, that would be a great series. Now, just to the NFL, we've got a great question here from Laura at Manly, because wondering what's going to happen, obviously, with Baker Mayfield there at the Cleveland Browns, and Deshaun Watson is there now. And the question here, Dick, is Baker Mayfield going to the Bahamas with Deshaun Watson and his offensive line?
Baker Mayfield, I don't know if any team or any country wants Baker Mayfield. That's the question. I mean, are they even going to let him in? It's just, it is interesting how far that star has fallen. He wasn't particularly well-liked when he was doing all these commercials, as good as they were. He was doing all these commercials and yet not producing on the field. We were making jokes that there's not a player in sports that has done less and has more advertising, more endorsements than Baker Mayfield. And it's all come crashing down on him. He's not a bad quarterback, but right now, no team wants to pay his contract. And Cleveland still doesn't know exactly what's going to go on with Deshaun Watson as far as how many games he's going to be suspended. And that's going to be the determining factor whether Baker Mayfield stays in Cleveland. And wouldn't that be drama, right? Cleveland doesn't want Baker Mayfield at all. And yet they may be forced to start Baker Mayfield for 4 games, 6 games, 8 games. Obviously, it's a short suspension. They'll just cut Baker Mayfield. But what if Deshaun Watson's suspended for 10 games? And you have Baker Mayfield on your roster. Do you really want to let go of Baker Mayfield and have your third string quarterback start 10 games? No, you're going to start Baker Mayfield whether he wants to play for you or not.
They might get rid of him and go after Drew Brees.
Oh, wouldn't that be something if he came back? I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but you know, we've seen stranger things. We've seen stranger things happen. We saw Tom Brady retire then unretire. That was pretty bizarre.
What's happened there, Dick? Did he put out a tweet or something?
He did, and you know, his former coaches are saying it's in jest. He basically said, "I don't know what I'm going to do. I may go to a different TV station." He got let go by NBC. As a studio analyst after 1 year where he was pretty milquetoast. So he said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." He goes, I may try for another TV gig. He goes, "I may come back to football. I may, you know," I may start on a pickleball tour. I may coach my kids in football. You know, but the line that he threw out there was, "I may come back to football." And that's got everybody buzzing. I would highly doubt it happens, but it would certainly be interesting to see.
We've got an ice hockey fan here. "Hey, boys, ask Dick about the New York Rangers comeback. First team ever. 3-1 in a series and down every game in elimination games to come back and win in the playoffs." I don't know how much you've been following this, but I think you tipped us the Colorado Avalanche, who were through to the second round. But sounds like the New York Rangers, a dramatic win there in their playoff series. I think it was against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, absolutely. And in dramatic fashion, we had some great game sevens. I mean, the NHL produced this weekend where the NBA fell flat. I mean, the NBA gave us no drama whatsoever this weekend, and the NHL gave us tremendous drama. And I saw a couple of videos, personal videos from cell phones of people in the crowd celebrating that game seven win. And it was, I mean, you would have thought they won the Stanley Cup. I mean, but there's a great Ranger following in New York. I mean, there's two New York teams, the Islanders and the Rangers. The Rangers have had far more success. They've got far more. I mean, they were a great team in the 90s with Mark Messier. And they have a big time following there. So you still have some teams in it that have a rabid following. And this is kind of the time now, when we get deeper into the playoffs, we get to the Western Eastern Conference Finals, that's when I really start turning my eye to the NHL and kind of paying more attention to it. And I think I will now. It's getting pretty fun.
What about the golf this weekend, the PGA Championship? Who do you like in that?
Oh boy, guys, this is the toughest major that I've handicapped in a long time. I mean, because I can't find separation. It's going to be a bear of a course. It is long. It is tough. You've got to be long and place the ball in the right part of the fairway. If you miss the green, there's just runoff, almost like British Open style. There's not going to be any thick rough. It's you're going to hit the green. You could spin off it. You could roll down 30 yards. You could roll into a bunker after hitting the green and putting too much spin on it. It's going to be the guy that can just manage pars. Can you manage pars and take advantage of the very few birdie opportunities you're going to get? And, you know, that winner, I mean, probably in the 6 to 10 under par range. It is not going to be it's going to be a tough track. And if we get the expected wind, and that's something I'm really going to look at tomorrow, is there a wind tee off favorability? Like, if it looks like the wind's going to be stronger on Thursday afternoon and Friday morning, I'd stay away from those guys. If it's flipped, I'd stay away from the early wave. But I see about 15 guys that can win it. And honestly, guys, I don't have two or three guys that I have really a lot higher than the rest. I've got this group. They're all elite. I think it's going to be an elite player. I think it's going to be a top 20, 25 player in the world that wins this thing, because I just think it's too much of a bear for somebody that, you know, kind of come out of nowhere. I'll give you a name that I've just kind of been set on. I mean, obviously Scottie Scheffler is probably, if I just had to say pick a winner, I'd probably go with Scottie Scheffler. Dallas ties, Tulsa's right up the street, played well again last week in the tune-up event. So Scottie Scheffler probably has the best chance to win of anybody, but it's going to be really hard to win the first two majors of a year. And then the other guy is Will Zalatoris, and I'd feel much more confident in Will Zalatoris if he had a tournament win in his back pocket and he kind of knew how to grind out a PGA Tour win and already had that and dealt with the pressure. Can Will Zalatoris, who I think is going to be right up there on Sunday, will he actually be able to win against all these guys that have not only won tournaments but won majors? So maybe you go top 10 for a Zalatoris if you want to take a bet right there. But, you know, those are the two guys I've been kind of thinking about for the last week. But, again, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this, because I think it's going to be – it's a much more difficult tournament to handicap than, say, Augusta, where you got the same guys playing it every single year.
Okay, I like it. For our listeners, Dick's tip in the PGA Championship, Will Zalatoris top 10 is paying $4.25 with Tabby's, $34 to win the tournament. Scottie Scheffler, the Masters champ, is the $12 favorite. Aussie Cam Smith, by the way, rated a $15 chance. Dick, thanks so much as always.
Going to be a fun week, guys. We'll talk to you next week.